What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 55 of Value Town. I'm Chan Man V, of course, joined by Raynad here, and we've got our guest, the first time on Value Town, VLPS. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hey, man.
Yeah, good to be on here. Appreciate the invite.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Well, we've got the third wing of League of Explorers released today. Actually, I think it literally just released like a few minutes ago. But I figured we'd do a show just talking about, talking about the cards again. I know we went over the cards a little bit whenever League of Explorers first came out. But given just the landscape of what we've seen with the cards in the first two wings, I figured we should just evaluate quickly what the Ruined City cards are going to look like to you guys. But let's start off with some news. Going to start off the news topic with
news straight from the heart.
Okay, so we've got, besides obviously the Ruined City just talk, we had some something announced at least yesterday in Reddit, which was pertaining to Oddshot. And given that Raynad, kind of started the whole discussion with the whole Oddshot thing a few weeks ago, and whether it was on your stream, on Reddit, and also on my other show, Unfiltered, they did announce a partners program. So I kind of wanted to see what your thoughts on that was, Ray. Any comments on just them announcing that and is your opinion pretty much the same about them or no?
I mean, I think the meaningful change is the opt-out option. That's like the only thing I really asked for in my original post, and they have it, so I'm happy. Now they don't just ignore you when you email them asking to be opted out. Now they actually do it, apparently. So that's cool. I think the $30,000 per month, like Spotify model of let's pay people, crumbs based on how many views they bring to the site. They're basically paying $30,000 to buy the goodwill of the Hearthstone subreddit. So good on them, of all the places to publish an announcement that only affects Twitch broadcasters. Of course they picked the Hearthstone subreddit, right? It's definitely not right. Just a PR stunt. What they're paying, to put it into perspective, is about like 1/5 of what you would make on YouTube per view, and it doesn't solve the problem at all for content creators, but most of the people in that Reddit post decided to tell me how much I would make and decided to tell me that it fixed the problem. So good on them. I've actually never been that mad at Reddit. Well, no. I was way madder at Reddit during the Magic Amy thing. I'm just...
Yeah. Yeah.
Sad, honestly. I just feel sad about the state of the human race. I can't properly express how stupid I feel the people who are bringing up the music copyright issue is.
Oh yeah.
I explain to them why it's so disgusting and such a slap in the face to bring it up, like when the topic shouldn't be that at all, and the topic is Oddshot, and they do it anyway. And you can look at like some of the most upvoted things in that thread. I threw up, man. I would like, not even exaggerating, I don't think I'm going to post on that website again. I've never like
went on the subreddit.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's,
okay.
I hate the mods. I hate the people on it. I hate everything about the amount of like pure rage and disappointment. I've never like.
What do you hate about the mods?
For about 2 years now, they were doing some very biased post removals.
Oh,
Basically, like Trump singing videos would be okay, right? That's Hearthstone content. But then like,
right.
You're forcing. Have something funny happen that's not Hearthstone content, it goes down.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
I had those couple streams that peaked at like 40K where I was playing like Token Warlock and Shaman last week.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody like linked my deck list from those things on Reddit. And like one of the mod posts was, oh, it's a Tempo Storm deck list. Don't fucking link this website again. They have a paywall on some of their stuff. But this is okay because it shows the deck list, even though all of our stuff shows the deck list. There's no paywall.
Okay. Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. Like, little things like that. You know, I don't want to make this all negative. Let's move on. But fuck Reddit. Fuck everybody who posted there. And not everybody. Some people were like reasonable, rational human beings. But like, I swear to God, like we talked about it on Unfiltered, you know, like how can you get through to these people? Like, is it even worth convincing them, right? Like, no matter what, they want to sound edgy by trying to call somebody a hypocrite, even though it like completely detracts from the issue, as like comparing apples and oranges. Like I'm not even going to get started on the music argument, because to start arguing about it is like to validate it, you know?
Right. All right. But yeah, man. VLPS, do you have any opinions on the whole Oddshot thing? I mean, you're a streamer too, so.
Yeah, I'm a streamer. I'm a new streamer, so you know, Raynad probably has a little bit more knowledge on the issue than I do. I do like the idea of them supporting the content creators. I was actually curious how much that $30,000 per month would equate to if compared to something like YouTube. So to find out from Raynad here, it's like 1/5 that you would get on YouTube. Is kind of doesn't seem fair to me, at least. But yeah, I mean, I like the direction that they're taking now, actually giving some support, but. If that could ever reach levels of YouTube, I think that would be a little bit more fair, obviously.
Yeah, it's pretty similar. My thoughts are the same. I mean, I think it's a step in the right direction, but you know, them announcing it so early when it's not, I don't think it's completely spelled out. You know, just $30,000 sounds like a lot, but it isn't that much, guys. If you're talking about every single, you know, Twitch streamer that possibly, you know, they could possibly have Oddshot videos for. But at least they're trying, you know, I give them at least that much credit, but I feel like we're far from it actually being, you know, like you said, fair or viable, compared to YouTube.
Yeah.
But of course they chose Hearthstone because Raynad is the person that brought it, you know, to light, really, or at least the most, influential person that's actually.
Yeah, but it doesn't affect the readers of the Hearthstone subreddit, does it? How many of them make content?
Of course not. But it was also posted on, like, I think it was also posted on Dota 2, like the r/Dota 2. So it wasn't just Hearthstone, but
the co-founder was there answering questions for a few hours on the fucking Candy Crush subreddit. Like, it's if you're gonna tell me that's not a PR stunt,
really?
Like,
oh my god, okay. What are you doing on the Candy Crush subreddit?
What? No, the Hearthstone. I meant the Hearthstone.
Oh, Hearthstone. Oh, I
get them confused sometimes.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow. Okay. I didn't get that joke.
Andy Crush is the one with competitive integrity.
That's okay. Well, anyways, I figured I would bring that up, given that you know, that was seemed to be a major thing a couple of days ago. But let's get into some card talk. We have VLPS joining us today. And I figured we would do our...
Golden. Good. Or gimmick.
Golden good or gimmick here with the Ruined City cards. And there's about, 11, 12 cards here. And I figured we just kind of go through each of them. So let's start off with Huge Toad here. Let me switch the view here. Okay, so Huge Toad. 2-drop, 3/2 beast, death rattle, deal 1 damage to a random enemy. And this is kind of the golden good or gimmick. Kind of put it somewhere in there. You know, if you think it's golden, it's like a great card. Good, solid, maybe solid in the future, but it doesn't have to be like elite viable now. And gimmick is just like never good type of thing. Ray, Huge Toad.
Naxxramas and then Minibot. Like, Naxxramas and GBG both made 2-drops like so stupidly good that they almost can't print a new one that will see a lot of play.
Yeah, that's
funny. Yeah, it's just, this card would be fine if Hearthstone had like rotating formats, but yeah, that not even close to good enough, I think, when you compare it to things like Minibot and all of that. But you know, some people play Flame Juggler, so maybe you could play it in Hunter or Druid or something, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it is a beast, right? So there might be some synergy there. VLPS, what do you think?
Yeah, I kind of agree with Reynad's points. There's been a lot of power creeping to slot, and I see what they're trying to do with it. Like, they're kind of, it's similar to Flame Juggler and Knife Juggler in the sense that now this is like a new type of death rattle, but I don't know. I don't see it being as good as Knife Juggler and Ready Bot, those power creep drops that we see in those aggro decks. It's I guess it's meant for aggro decks more so than control decks, but I guess the only positive is that it is a beast. So maybe if druids get more beasts down the line, maybe this will have some viability in that. Maybe some hunters might consider running this mm-hmm. as a one of like flame juggler. So, but I don't see it being played very much and constructed.
All right. So gimmick conclusion on this card. All right. Next up, we got Gorilla Bot A3. It's a 4-drop, 3/4 body mech. Battle cry: if you control another mech, discover a mech. VLPS, what do you think about this?
I guess the immediate comparison when you see a 4-mana mini nowadays is, how does it compare to Piloted Shredder? And I think compared to Piloted Shredder, it's not that great. But if we look at the mech decks that are out there now, you know, Mech Mage being probably the biggest mech-themed deck out there, I could see this being better than, like, a Mechanical Yeti, maybe. Is it, you know, it's a 3/4, not the best stats for 4/4 mana, but at the same time, it's kind of drawing you a card, and it's drawing you a mech, which, you know, continues the mech theme within your deck. So I could see this possibly seeing play in a very, very mech-themed deck, like Mech Mage as a one of maybe, but when comparing it strictly to Shredder, I think it's a worse card. I think it's solid, though. I think it's solid.
All right. Ray?
Yeah, pretty much agree with the OPS and everything there. I think it's most likely not going to see play. I've been playing a lot of Mech Mage lately. That's what I streamed most of yesterday. I play like Azure Drakes in that deck, but I'd still rather have Azure Drakes than this card, I think. The Azure Drakes draw you into Burn, which are like the kind of cards you want to be drawing at that stage of the game, and then they're like more consistent, right? You don't have to have the mech, so if you're behind on board, you can still like play it and try to draw into Burn for lethal.
Yeah.
Whereas this card's like decent if you're ahead, but you're like on turn 5, you're not going to have an empty hand yet. You know, you're still going to have stuff to play. So it's like getting the extra mech option on curve is not that valuable. So turn 4, you'd almost always rather have Shredder, just like when you compare any 4-drop in the game. But later in the game, you might rather have this thing, I guess. You could maybe get like a Fel Reaver play the turn after you play this card. But yeah, most of the time, probably not going to see play.
Yeah. Okay, so I think we got a good from VLPS, right? Somewhere in there, and then a gimmick from Raynad. Or somewhere between good and gimmick, I would say, for this card. All right, next one is our first Murloc card. It's a Paladin card. 10 mana. Anything can happen. It's a rare card. Summon 7 Murlocs that died this game. Obviously, has to be a Murloc deck to have 7 Murlocs be played and dying to get full value from this card. What do you guys think?
I think the one thing that people have been theorycrafting is that that OTK setup where you run 2 Grimmscale Oracles, 2 Bluegill Warriors, 2 Murloc War Leaders, and an old Murkai. And when you play this card, those 3 charged minions do exactly 30 damage.
Oh, wow. I didn't actually do the math.
Yeah, it comes out to the old Merc guy and the 2 Bluegill Warriors doing exactly 30 damage in one turn. I think it's 14, 8, and 8. The only problem with it is, though, obviously, like, Paladins kind of lack the card cycle. So, one, like, will they have the ability to cycle through their entire deck and play this on turn 10? And also, I'm assuming if you're trying to run that combo, it's going to be some type of, you know, aggro Paladin type of deck, and those games even go to turn 10 most of the time? Probably not. So, I don't know. It sounds pretty interesting. I would want to try that type of setup myself, but overall, I think it's kind of a gimmick card, I would say.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say pretty much the same thing. Like, the combo Paladin deck is the only thing you would play this in, but I think it might actually be decent. You don't play it in an aggressive shell. You have to play it in a control deck, I think.
Yeah.
And you just kind of throw your Murlocs out to trade with stuff. But I think it could work because you kind of want to already play Murloc Knight anyway, which doesn't like OTK them, but it lets you just play this as a good value card in control matchups.
Yeah.
So I think that I really wish it cost 9. That would be a pretty big difference. But anyway, it's... Mm-hmm. It might be good, right? Like I know what the deck looks like in my head, and I know how to build it. I just don't know how good it ends up being, you know? Like until we actually play with it, it's tough to really say how good it'll be.
Yeah. Well, the good news is that people are going to try it for probably a decent amount of time, too. I mean, I'd give it a couple weeks, at least people are trying it. So at least that's exciting. We'll be seeing some more Murlocs in Paladin and in Shaman, which we'll talk about in a second, too. So there's the next card we got. So I think that card's more in the gimmick side of things, or at least you guys conclude on a gimmick. The next card is another Murloc. It's Murloc Tiny Fin. It's a 0 mana 1/1, and there's no text on it, just a vanilla card.
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys think of another vanilla Murloc here?
I mean, I think it takes the slot as the new cutest card in the game.
Cutest card in the game.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess it might see playing like a very highly themed Murloc deck, but I don't even doubt that. So I don't know. I don't see it being used very often. I think it's just a straight gimmick card.
Look at the picture on this thing. This matches in a fight against a well-trained armored paladin with a sword. Like, it trades with a recruit.
A recruit, yeah, that's true. That's true.
That's not right.
It looks like the next plushie, like plushie thing sold in the merch store. But what's the purpose of making a card like this? How about that? Is that a good? That's a follow-up question.
And every 0 mana card, people like laugh at, but give it enough expansions and these things become broken. Wisp, really? Tiny Fin. Well, yeah.
Huh. Like
every 0 mana card like ever in other card games has done something degenerate at some point.
Mm-hmm.
We just haven't had like the right amount of the right like support cards yet for a deck like this to work. For example, let's say they print like a couple more effects like or a couple more 0 mana creatures that look really terrible. Then you just make this deck, as soon as a support card gets printed, that's like, oh, whenever a minion comes into play, draw a card or whatever. And it's, you play this, you dump your hand, draw your deck, dump more zero cost cards, draw more cards. And then all of a sudden you have a full board and you can do it all over the next turn if they AoE you. So I don't know. We just don't have like the support card yet to do degenerate things with this. But, if the metagame speeds up a lot, if there's way more Murlocs that come out, I will never say a 0 mana card is unplayable ever. Like they all have potential at some point. It's just they go from unplayable to broken very quickly without much middle ground yet. But do you want to say last card? Anything can happen. I wouldn't say that's gimmick. Like that's a card that's either a gimmick or it's like Mysterious Challenger levels
crazy
of dumb,
good.
You know?
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
Probably
that's
a gimmick.
Well, it's definitely good that they can have a range like that, before actually getting played. So, all right. What's your thoughts on VLPS, like creating a card like Murloc Tiny Fin?
I agree with Raynad. Like, as more cards come into the game, I think it gains more value. It also, thinking on it a little bit more, Hobgoblin could be a thing, a lot of good one drops come out, and maybe there's like a lot more good Murlocs in the game. Maybe like a Hobgoblin Murloc deck would be viable if there's somehow a new like cycle mechanic. The problem with running Murlocs a lot of these times is like having the cycle to support it. So like now it's been like any Murloc deck that really has existed that's been kind of successful has kind of had to be used in a Warlock type of deck where you can hero power and draw into those Murlocs. So if there's ever new like cycle mechanic cards that come out, like Battle Rage was really insane with Grim Patron. If that ever happens for a class, and maybe they can fill their deck up with a lot of Murlocs, maybe a Hobgoblin, maybe a couple of these, and all of a sudden you have a very powerful aggro deck. So I agree with Raynad. As more cards come into the game, these cards could become more powerful over time.
Well, for a cycle, Divine Spirit is. I mean, Divine Favor is like ridiculous card cycle there, right? And that's why.
Yeah, Wisp is already good in that deck, so you can play Tiny Fin as well and get more ridiculous opening hands. It also makes Jeeves better, so alone might make this good enough right off the bat. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay, next up we got a rogue card. It's a one drop Pit Snake. It's a beast. It's a 2/1 body, and it destroys any minage damaged by this minion. So it's similar to the Cobra. What are your thoughts?
I think they missed an opportunity here for a really cool card. Like at a 2-1, this will never see play ever, right? Because you play it late in the game, it's never going to trade for a big minion because late in the game, it's always easy to squeeze in a hero power. And turn 1 and 2, having 2 power is pretty much going to trade with the same stuff, whether it has that ability or not.
Yeah.
But if the stats were flipped, that would be a super interesting card. Mm, okay. That would actually be like a card that I think Rogue would play. It would be a one drop that Rogue would play. It's like Rogue's an interesting class because it has the best early game hero power in the game, and it's one of the only classes that's like very happy hero powering turn 2. So this could actually be like a turn 1. Like I got legendary like 2 months ago playing Rogue with lowly squires, and that was like pretty good. But this could be like even better than that. And yeah, I'm just sad they didn't flip the stats on it, basically. But I don't think it's playable as a 2-1.
Well, it'd be way better than Lily Squire, right? If it was the one, because of the late game possibilities of it, right?
Yeah, but like late game, it's easy to deal 2 damage as well. It's just it would force them to have the board or like use a Keeper of the Grove battle cry on it or something. Like maybe that's too strong, but I don't think it would have been too strong as a 1-2. I think it would have been a really interesting card.
Okay.
It's crazy though, just like how good Rogue has been, just like traditional oil Rogue, even though it hasn't gotten a card in like 2 expansions.
I know. That does speak for a lot. How it's like the Rogue decks that are viable are just crazy strong, like the Miracle Rogue at the time, and then oils had a good duration here now. VLPS, what do you think, man?
Yeah, I 100% agree with Raynad. I think if this was a 1-2, it would be an interesting card that could see play, but as a 1-health minion, I don't see it being a good card to actually run in your deck. I was going to say that Mounted Raptor, you know, becomes better after today, after this card is released, just due to the possibility of it coming out. I know my first game that I queue on ladder today against Nagrajir, they're probably going to get, you know, a Pit Snake out of their Mounted Raptor. So playing the card from your hand, probably not the best. Coming out of a Mounted Raptor, you're always very happy. But I don't see this card being played just due to the 1-health aspect.
Better or worse than Assassin?
A lot worse.
Yeah,
I'd say worse.
Yeah, just because of the fact that you can get pinged, right? Okay. All right, next up. So for that one, I would probably say Gimmick. Gimmick, maybe. Maybe a little better than Gimmick, but... all right, Naga Sea Witch, 5-drop. It's an epic card. Your 5/5 body. Your card costs 5 mana, or your cards cost 5 mana. So anything in your hand costs 5 mana. What you guys think?
I think it's probably going to be too hard to make work, but it's kind of interesting. 5-drops are really competitive as far as slots go in most decks, and the only deck that plays a lot of expensive things would be something like Druid. The problem with this card is that it's not good in every draw that you have, right? So like if I have a hand that's a bunch of like cheap cards in removal and I play a few of them leading up to turn 5 and then I play Naga Sea Witch,
yeah.
Like if it lives, like the stats you're paying for aren't as good as any other 5 mana minion in the game, but then like if your hand still has a bunch of cheap stuff, it's actually a drawback. Like you don't, and if you have a bunch of expensive stuff in your hand, then you're dead by the time you played it. So it's tough to like see a scenario where this is really good. I mean, I could see it saving you like a mana on Ancient of Lore or something, but I just have a really hard time seeing a way to get value out of this card. One of the bigger problems too is like if you have 5 mana to play this and the next turn, you're like wasting a mana the next turn, basically, right? Like it's not saving you 2 mana on Ancient of Lore. It's only saving you 1 mana on Ancient of Lore because you have 6 mana total. And you can only play one thing the turn after you play this. So it feels like a really awkwardly statted pint-sized summoner that can sometimes have a drawback. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm not sure. There could be some ridiculous ramp deck where it does stuff.
So you mentioning Ancient Lore, is it mainly for the value or just mainly for just Ancient Lore being played in majority of Druid decks, and this would be just the most subtle change, adding a Naga Sea Witch? Because I would think you would shoot for higher, right? Or something that's like...
I'm thinking of an average scenario, right? Like, yeah, obviously playing like a Malygos turn 6 is going to be good, but like how to consistently do that, your deck would have to be terrible. Like, you'd have to play so many expensive things. You'd have to live up to the point of playing Naga Sea Witch. The Naga Sea Witch would have to live in order for you to, like, be able to play the crappy cards in your hand. Yeah. It's just like, there's no way a deck like that works. There's probably... now that I've said that, if this card does end up being broken, people are going to quote that rather than what I'm about to say now. There might be some double nourish, like, really absurd type of ramp deck that could work with this. Maybe you play it with, like, Astral Communion or something.
Yeah, Astral Communion is what I was thinking. If you have two cards, you can at least play it, right, with it. But VLPS, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, when you see the card text, you kind of immediately think some type of deck that runs high-cost cards, like maybe like a ramp type of druid. I think the biggest problem is there's so many competitive cards at the 5 slot. You know, you have Belchers, you have Lotheb, you have a lot of cards that can you really afford to cut, because survivability is an issue as well. You know, can you even make it to turn 10 nowadays with aggro shamans on ladder, you know, aggro druids on ladder? Can you even make it that late into the game? And if you're cutting a card like, you know, Belcher for this card, that's just going to hurt your chances of making it to this point in the game where it would see value, you know, on turn 10. I think I saw, you know, other people discussing the fact that, like, if you have a Ysera and this card in your hand on, say, turn 9, you're going to play the Ysera anyway on turn 9, so when turn 10 rolls around, you know, you're not going to be seeing the insane value of playing this card followed by the Ysera for 5 mana. So, I don't know. Overall, I think this card could work in maybe some type of very, very heavy ramp, you know, druid, but I don't see it being played over the more consistent 5 drops like Belcher and Lotheb.
Yeah, agreed. Better or worse than Aviana, guys?
I would say probably worse.
Okay.
Probably worse, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Aviana at least has that innervate play. You can get like three minions down, which is can be nice. Okay, well, let's see which we'll say gimmick for now, and we'll see if it ends up becoming better. Somebody comes up with something cool. All right, next up, we've got, I think, a card a lot of people have been looking forward to in this release. It's a one-drop, Sir Finley Murgleton. It's a Murloc, of course. It's a 1/3 body, Battlecry, Discover, and new basic hero power. What you think?
I guess the one card you kind of compare this to off the bat is Ogre Magi. Same exact mana cost, same exact stat line, only difference being +1 spell damage, and it's only... yourself, but yeah. You kind of have to ask yourself, is it worth that extra 1 spell damage, you know, bearing in mind that your opponent in turn has 2 spell damage? You know, I don't know. I don't see it being that great. It's also a kind of card that you kind of can't really look at as a 4-drop, because if you play it on 4, you're then giving your opponent the benefit first, and then we're talking
about Sir Finley, right?
Oh, we're on Sir Finley.
Yeah, not, not Jungle Moonkin, but Sir Finley.
Wow, card behind, Sir Finley, sorry. This is a card that I see possibly seeing play in a deck like Aggro Shaman, a deck where the theme is to obviously, you know, bring your opponent down as fast as possible, but at the end of the day, you have, you know, this bad hero power in the sense that you summon a random totem. So I would see Sir Finley possibly seeing play in type of Aggro Shaman deck. Mm-hmm. It's also interesting that you have the ability to use your hero power, then play this card for 1 mana, and then you know, you can hero power again if you so choose. So that's a pretty cool effect as well. I think this card's pretty interesting. I'm actually excited to try this out in something like Aggro Shaman or maybe like a Tempo Rogue deck. The dagger's not as valuable.
Great.
Yeah, I think all of the Explorer guys in this adventure are all very, very good. So this is very, it's cool that they're also playable. I think Sir Finley, it'll definitely see play in Aggro Shaman. That's what everyone's saying. I mean, yeah, it will. The question is, like, where else will it see play? It's cool that there's another 1-mana Murloc with actually, like, sticky stats this time. So that might help Murloc decks. Mm-hmm. I'll definitely be in those. I think, like, there are decks in the game that this definitely helps out when the hero power just doesn't really work with what you're trying to do. Right. Maybe like a Raptor Rogue this could be good in or something, you know, like it's a deck that usually doesn't play Deadly Poison or anything like that. Like maybe it could be good in that. some Paladin decks maybe. It's tough to say what is he's playing, but I know that it's good. I know that it's flexible, and just like one mana cards of those kind of stat lines and an effect like that are really strong. So I'm surprised the card exists. At least, like, I'm surprised this is the text on it, because I know Blizzard doesn't really like mixing the classes too much. Like, giving, they want every class to have its own identity and everything, and this is just like another way to play with things that other classes should be doing. But it's definitely good. It is a little bit. I like the discover mechanic, but this is going to get a little frustrating sometimes with Shaman, because like there's like a 1 in 48 or something, 1 in a million chance that you get like the 3 bad hero powers, which is like warrior, priest, plus whatever, which would like be really tilting, because I know it's going to happen to me like 3 games in a row, and I'm going to stop my stream. But like your hero power is still bad, right? Like if you have the Shaman hero power, it's like still bad, right? So yeah, you're still getting 1 mana 1/3, I guess. Well, anyway, yeah, card is strong. I think we'll see playing stuff. I'm not sure what we'll see playing aside from Aggro Shaman, but in Aggro Shaman, it's definitely like very, very, very good.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think all those decks that you guys mentioned are. It's definitely going to be. That's what everybody's going to try it in for sure. I'm a little curious about just Hunter. You know what I mean? Like Hunter's decks that have been built have always been very. It's been built around the hero power for the most part. You know, tempo, because there's been no way to play control Hunter. So it'd be cool to see if people experiment with Murgleton with Hunter and see if they can come up with a control Hunter. It's very, very difficult at this point, but I think it's always been solely based on the hero power.
I think you're right, yeah. Or aggro priest.
Yeah, something like that. But you bring up a good point about you're surprised about the text on this. And I kind of feel the same way, too, because it's funny, because the whole hero power thing, the whole class thing about Hearthstone is like a double-edged sword, because it's what makes Hearthstone unique, you know, from the standpoint of TCG, because we do have these classes. But at the same time, it makes it like extremely hard to design because of the limitations, right? Like Hunter, for instance, is the example I just gave. It's really hard to have to design classes around it. And a lot of times it just pigeonholes a class, like it has, I think, with Hunter. Overall, do you think it's a good or bad thing, both of you guys? VLPS, have you go first in this one.
I guess it's probably a bad thing for the competitive scene. I guess it's a good thing for kind of making the game a little bit more more fun and open to new players or just the casual players in the scene. But yeah, I mean, I don't like the direction in terms of how it would affect the competitive scene of things. You know, having that type of effect.
Meaning because of the kind of conquest formats and because of the formats that we're seeing, or like what exactly?
Yeah, and I don't know. It just feels like it's like Raynad said. You know, he said, you know, knowing his luck, he would draw. You know, he would get the wrong here. You know, the wrong discover the wrong hero power 3 times in a row. So I don't like that aspect of it. How it's such, you know, if you're playing this in Aggro Shaman, if you get the 100 hero power, it's amazing. It's insane, actually. If you get, you know, priest, paladin, and shaman, or priest, paladin, and rogue, for example, you're probably not as happy. So that's why I don't like it from that standpoint.
Okay.
Yeah, it is cool though. It's like this is a very low opportunity cost card. Like when I play Ragnaros, that's a huge investment. That's 8 mana, and if that hits the wrong thing, I lose the game.
Yeah.
Same thing with Implosion. If I roll a 2 on a Shredder, I lose the game. But this card, it's like, even if you get the worst case outcome, your hero power is like still equally bad in whatever deck you put this in, and you still got a 1 mana 1/3, which is a really good stat line. So I think, in this case, it's the worst case scenario is not nearly as bad as like rolling a 2 on Implosion. So that's good.
Yeah. I mean, like in the Aggro Shaman, getting health isn't that, I mean, it's probably better than, right, the actual Totem.
Totem gets spell power, but there's no way.
There's spells, that's true. Yeah.
There's no way you would ever pick Priest or Warrior. So what's the worst hero power you could actually get? It would be Rogue is decent, Mage is decent.
Paladin
would be the worst, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so Surfing Lee Mergleton, somewhere in that good range, probably a little bit closer to gold. Now, at least people trying it out immediately. Okay, Jungle Moonkin. So we got a Druid card, 4-drop, a 4/4 beast, and the text is both players have spell damage +2, and this is kind of what VLPS was talking about earlier. I guess you want to continue that thought of...
Yeah. I'll fall back on what I came up with earlier. It's kind of like the Ogre Magi type of card, 4 mana, 4/4, spell damage in the text, except you give your opponent that extra 1 damage. You know, you give your opponent the extra 2 damage as well, and you get one extra damage yourself. It's kind of hard to look at it as a 4-mana card, just because if you play it on turn 4, your opponent gets to benefit off the spell damage before you do, so if they can somehow benefit off the spell damage and remove it at the same time, you know, you're really seeing no benefit from it yourself. So it's kind of more so maybe like an 8-mana card, where you can combo it with something like Swipe, or a 6-mana card, or you can combo it with Wrath. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Overall, I would say it's probably no better than Ogre Magi, which obviously sees no play in Constructed.
Okay. Ray?
I think anytime you look at an individual spell power card, with the exception of Blood Mage or Hazard Drake, it's always going to look bad on its own, because the way Blizzard has decided to balance all spell damage cards, except for Blood Mage and Azure Drake, is they basically decided to remove stats for spell damage. And basically, this is what I did. I thought this card was out in the first wing, so I started building a spell damage deck, realized it wasn't out, switched to Rogue. And like, when you're playing all of the crappy spell damage cards, when you're playing like the 2/6 kobold, the 2/2 kobold, Azure Drake, Blood Mage, sometimes Magi, sometimes Dalaran Mage, like that actually gives you some disgusting turns. I was holding like top 100 legend with spell damage rogue. And that card is playing like 4 kobolds. Like, it's not, you know.
Oh my god, wow.
So I imagine like in Druid, this, like, the deck probably sucks, right? But what if it doesn't? What if you just play all the spell damage crap and then you get like pretty absurd Moonfires with this. You get pretty good Starfalls. Swipes are disgusting. So, I think like on their own, all the spell damage cards suck, but eventually there are 10 playable ones that you put all in the same deck. And then it's just something that we haven't really seen in a long time in Hearthstone that could actually be really good.
From the standpoint of, I guess, the benefits of spell power for you, I mean, I think those are all good points. What about the spell giving your opponent spell damage? I mean, how do you think that affects things here? Because like a Consecrate would just clear this and whatever that's for health, right? Is that a terrible value to give to your opponent too? I mean, do you take that into account at all, or no?
Well, I think the spell power card is one of the few that you just play differently with. Like, instead of stacking all your spell damage dudes, you just play this one on its own most of the time, so that AoE doesn't wreck you.
Yeah.
You also don't need two guys, since this one acts as two of them on its own. So, the only time you would flood your board with spell damage minions is, and this guy, is when you have lethal, I think.
Okay. All right, so Moonkin, what do you guys think? Good gimmick, somewhere in between there, or
probably gimmick.
I'll call it gimmick. Yeah.
All right, gimmick for that Druid card. All right, next up we've got the class, or this is the class challenge cards. First up, we've got another trap for Hunter, 2-drop, of course. It's called Dart Trap. Secret: when an opposing hero power is used, deal 5 damage to a random enemy. All right, so kind of a combination between tempo or, you know, just face damage, right? I mean, it's really random as to what happens if there is a minion on the board. What do you guys think?
It's going to be an interesting one to play against. Do you just never hero power now?
If that could, like, I know, right? Oh my god.
I don't know what the cost of never hero powering is. Like, there's never been a card in the game that makes you think about that. I imagine it's not like that high. I'll say this is a card that can't ever get too popular, right? It's like Snake Trap, because is a card where when you play around it, it does literally nothing. Something like Freezing Trap is like not only good when it works, but it's impossible to play around.
Yeah, so, that's true.
This card, yeah, it's like the times that it gets you, it will get you very good, but I think after like the first week, we're going to start seeing a lot less of it as people like start playing around it too much, and then it'll rotate back in as like a one up here and there, if I had to guess. But.
All right. VLPS, what do you think?
Yeah, it's hard to visualize because it's such a unique card, you know, how good it is, but I can say that I like the direction that Hunter Secrets are taking. You know, 2 years ago, it pretty much wasn't a secret. It was either freezing or explosive. It was right. Not really a secret. Nowadays, you have, you know, bear trap, snake trap, dart trap. So it's becoming more so of, you know, do I hero power? Do I play around dart trap? Do I go base? Do I play around explosive and bear? Mm-hmm. You know, it's becoming more of a secret. So I like that aspect of it. I agree with Raynad in the sense that it's one of those cards that probably won't see, you know, you won't see people playing two of these versus two explosives or two freezings, but every once in a while, you know, you'll see it teched in as a one of, like Snake Trap does, you know, get teched in every once in a while, and people won't expect it, and then, you know, you can punish them for it. When I'm thinking about the decks that are popular in On Ladder, and those being Secret Pally, you know, Aggro Shaman, Aggro Druid, there's a lot of board presence on the enemy side, so now this thing dealing 5 damage to a 1/1 Silverhand recruit, probably going to be disappointed with that result. So, you know, right now in the current game, I don't see it being played or being very successful.
Oh God, it deals damage to a random enemy.
Yeah. It could do face or it could do.
I thought I hit them in the face every time.
No.
This is unplayable.
Yeah, right. It's particularly in the state of the meta right now with the.
Yeah, no, even if I hit face every time, it's like, yeah, never mind.
Yeah, if it was only face, then it would be, I don't know. I think it would be worse, but currently in the meta, it's worse because it can hit both. Because there's just too many Sovereign Recruits and Imps and stuff like that in the meta right now. Okay, so we'll call it gimmick for now. Actually, how would you rank this in terms of traps or secrets right now for Paladin? Or not, Hunter.
Better worst than Hunter trap in the game.
You think it's worse? That's what I was gonna say. I was gonna ask you.
I think it's on the level of misdirection.
Misdirection. Okay.
As like the bottom two Hunter traps.
Oh man, that's not good.
Yeah, but even misdirection is like one of those things where, like, you know, every once in a while, if you play it in and no one expects it, you know, they grom your face for 10 damage, all of a sudden win the game. So yeah, maybe we'll see it played every once in a while as a one of.
Trolling videos. On. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, next up, so that's a gimmick there. Shaman, we've got, all right, this is the second Murloc-centric card that we're seeing, 7-drop. It's every fin is awesome. Give your minions +2/+2, cost 1 less for each Murloc you control. It's kind of like a, I don't know, kind of a Bloodlust type of move, I think, with a bunch of Murlocs. But better because it sticks for more than just one turn.
Yeah, I think you'd have to have at least two Murlocs to make this card decent on the board. And that's always the problem with, you know, trying to theorycraft. Can you ever have really? Are you ever really gonna have a board state where you have three or more Murlocs as a Shaman? If you do, you're probably already very far ahead.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I just see the problem being having a controlled state of board with Murlocs as a Shaman. If you do, you know, for 7 mana, it's probably not good at all. For 5 mana, it's probably okay. Anything less than 4 mana, I would say it's very good. But having 3 mana or 3 Murlocs on the board as a Shaman, probably going to be pretty difficult.
So a win more card then, probably, is what you're saying?
Yeah, in that sense, yeah.
Ray, what do you think?
Yeah, kind of every Shaman card that wants you to play like a traditional aggressive Shaman deck is a win more card because it's... The minions themselves are not very durable, but they all play off of having a bunch of them stick somehow. And then this is like another spell that's like, okay, well, if you have a bunch of Murlocs, then it's really good. But
yeah,
if you have a bunch of Murlocs, then just having a bunch of Murlocs is already really good. So the problem with Murlocs is getting farmed by things like, you know, mini bot and Haunted Creeper and just like actually good minions. Not a lack of blowing your opponent out with stuff. I will say that this card is like pretty well costed though, so if you can get maybe one or two Murlocs to stick. You can play like a late game Tiny Fin to like surprise them on the cost of this card. Okay. So that's decent. I think if you play Murlocs in the same turn and do this, like it's a pretty strong board. But overall, I have a hard time seeing like an aggressive Shaman deck be better than an aggressive deck that just plays good cards. This was always true. Like even when like Murloc was popular as Warlock, Zoo is always just better in every way. And once I made that Zoo video, nobody played Murlocs anymore because Murlocs are like just worse. Like you kill them the same turn, but you kill them faster if none of your minions ever die. But that's like the only scenario where the deck is better, right? So would I play like an aggressive Shaman Murloc deck over just a traditional like burn aggro Shaman? Probably not. Mm-hmm. But maybe you could like combine the two. Maybe you take the like the mech package in aggro Shaman and you remove that in favor of Murlocs and cut some burn as well. Maybe something like this could be good in a deck like that. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Because, yeah, this is a give all any of your minions, right? Not just Murloc, +2/+2. So, not sure everybody realized that or not. But, yeah, a combo, I think a hybrid or a combo type of Shaman could work there. But another card, again, that people are going to be experimenting with and trying out. I'm sure we'll see some cool videos from the standpoint of everything is awesome. But right now, probably, I think you guys would conclude it's gimmicky or at least... not good, but somewhere between gimmick and good.
Probably, yeah. The cool thing about Anything Can Happen, though, like the Paladin spell, is that it's like one of them that, like, it expects your minions to die because they're crappy, you know? So that's like another thing in favor of Anything Can Happen. Like, that card might actually become a thing because if your minions live, then you have a bunch of Murlocs, and if they die, then that's kind of the plan anyway.
So. Yeah. Just value wise, it's for the most part going to be over 10 value, I think, if you have 7 Murlocs, that is. Mm-hmm. All right, so last card is a priest card, and it's called Entombed. 6 mana. Choose an enemy minion, shuffle it into your deck. What do you
think? This card's really good.
This card's like basically Siphon Soul, but you get the card too. Pretty cool.
Yeah, so like in traditional priest. This card is just awful. I would say like you'd never play this. But I was playing a lot of Fatigue Priest a couple weeks ago, and this is the last week of Hearthstone where Fatigue decks win with Fatigue. It will never happen again after December 10th because of Elise Starseeker, but. This week, you can play Fatigue Priest with Entomb, which I'm really excited to do. And I think this card helps a lot. It's exactly what that deck needed. So, should be fun.
Wait, so Elise Starseeker, let me... Oh, this is the one... Okay, this is the one with the map to the Golden Monkey. Oh, God. Yeah, okay, got it.
And that card changes the way the like control and fatigue archetype is built in Hearthstone significantly, but that's a story for another week.
That's cool. I didn't really think of it like that. Okay, Entombed, VLPS, what do you think?
Thinking on what's currently popular with Priest, being probably Dragon Priest more so than Control Priest, obviously we probably don't see it being played in a minion based deck like Dragon Priest. You think on Control Priest, It's one of those cards that, like Raynett says, it's probably, you know, Control Priest is still considered bad, I would say, so fitting this card in probably wouldn't make the deck any better. I don't know. I guess you would have to come up with some type of maybe a slower Priest deck that can make it to turn 6 and later and kind of, you know, run maybe one or two of these and have that fatigue mindset, you know, because, yeah, from a fatigue standpoint, it's very strong where you're removing a minion from their side, shuffling into your deck, so you're making it, you know, in fatigue, you're having more cards more cards in your deck. So I like it from that standpoint. I don't know. I still think that overall Priest is in a tricky spot. I don't think they're in a good spot right now, at least control or slow Priest decks. I think Dragon Priest is probably the way to go, and running this in Dragon Priest probably will not be happening.
Yeah, not in the current meta at least. Cause similar issue, right? Because there's just a lot of small minions on the board. I mean, a lot of filling the board with small minions type of decks right now. So Entombed could be really good later, though, if it ever becomes more of a control-based type of thing. Because it'd be nice to remove Ysera and crap like that, right? With
oh, yeah, that's the dream, yeah. Yeah,
maybe instead of mind control, you do this or something like that. And in those type of control priests. Definitely interesting card for the future. But I agree with you, though. It's just the priest just got spells for the most part, right? It is getting the curator next week, but so far it's just been excavated evil and entombed, which I don't think really helps out the priest very much.
Curator's huge, man. Curator it took him over 2 years to print a 2-drop for the class.
Yeah,
2 years.
Yeah, that's true. So that's at least coming. But so far, at least right now, priest hasn't gotten helped. But next week, man. Next week is going to be possibly a good week for priest. Or
the stats still suck on that card.
It does.
It's something. It's better than hero powering your opponent and emoting.
Yeah, that's true. All right, well, that concludes Golden Gooder Gimmick. So definitely it'd be fun to get those cards out. Again, the wing just came out, so those of you after Valleytown, go and definitely play the wing and get these cards and start experimenting. All right, next up, let's do a quick deck tech, because we have one deck to discuss, and it was
Deck Tech Online.
It was originally, we were going to talk with Life Coach, but again, we were supposed to have Life Coach on yesterday, but unfortunately I had some technical issues, so I figured we would talk about this anyways, and it is a Paladin deck. It's a Reno Paladin deck, which we haven't gotten a chance to talk about like specifically yet on Valleytown, so I figured have you guys kind of go through this deck. And this was a deck that was played in the Celestial Tournament, and obviously the Celestial Tournament was on the stream too. Had some success too. What do you think about this deck? It's obviously a Reno deck. There's only one copy of every card in this deck, and with Paladin, there's a lot of good cards in Paladin that you don't have to play doubles of. Overall, what do you think?
I've been playing a lot of Reno on ladder this month, and I think it works best in a deck that can either A, cycle, you know, through the entire deck, so a deck like Warlock where you have that hero power that lets you, you know, get an extra card every single turn, mm-hmm. or a deck like Paladin where they have such strong cards at every mana, you know, at every mana cost, and you can go Chow into Mini Bot into Muster into now Ulduman or True Silver, so they have a very powerful curve, and they have a lot of cards that, you know, and even in midrange Paladin nowadays, like, you want to run a lot of these cards, but you can only really fit one of them, like Murloc Knight, True Silver, Ulduman. It's hard to even run two of those cards anyway to begin with. So I think it's actually, if there's two decks out there that Reno Jackson really, really works well in, it's probably Paladin and Warlock. And yeah, looking at the deck now, it curves out really well. It has a lot of powerful minions at each mana slot, and I think it would work out pretty well in a lot of matchups.
I built this one Reno Paladin list the week that it came out, and I haven't played it since, but the one thing that list was doing differently is it had 2 Chow, 2 Mini Bot, and 2 Muster.
Okay, so some pairs. Yeah.
Yeah, so I Life Coach's list is probably better. It almost has to be. I'm sure he's played it a lot more. But I noticed that when you play like those 3 pairs, cutting any one of those cards from Paladin weakens the power of the class like a lot. When you do play pairs in your deck, it really stops you from playing an on-curve Reno, and that's a really big problem. So, because the matchups you need to play Reno turn 6 on are, or the matchups you need to play Reno, you need to play them as fast as possible. So, I think that it's probably better to just play one of those cards, as much as it hurts to cut Minibot. I will say though, I didn't like the heal bot after I played a lot of games, because that kind of has a lot of healing already and a lot of like defensive cards. I felt like it kind of took away value from Reno. So I would maybe like to see a quartermaster in this deck, but I wonder, maybe that's not worth it if you only have 1 muster. I'm not sure. It's a good deck though, I'm sure. And
yeah, you're probably not hero powering much in this deck given the curve. Curve's pretty even.
Yeah. The curve's even in every Paladin deck.
Yeah.
No. But yeah, you're right. Yeah, Sylvanas too. Sylvanas is a card that's like, it's high value, but I've found I don't like it in Paladin as much because it's really hard to kill your own stuff.
Yeah.
So it usually takes you like two turns to do anything with it, and they can like ignore it the first turn with a Sludge Belcher or something.
Yeah, I like the Mind Control tech too. Given that you only have one like a quality and one Consecrate. I've been playing a lot with Mind Control tech, and it's been really good.
My card's been destroying me all week.
Yeah, it's there's so many mid range decks, right? That flood board that it seems to be hard to play around. You know, given those decks are so strong right now, given the strategy behind them. Is there anything else worth pointing out in this deck? Let's see.
It's cool seeing the Karn Bloodhoof.
Yeah,
come back.
It's good, man. I played in my Raptor Rogue. Which do you think is better, guys? Between Piloted Sky Golem, it's like that's what chat asks me all like questions all the time. Sky Golem or Cairn?
In a Raptor deck, it's Cairn because you'd rather copy that Death Rattle. But in most decks, it's Sky Golem because the six power is harder to ignore, even though the Death Rattle's not as good.
Yep, that's a good point.
I agree. You know, four attack is just really weak right now in the game. So I think if Cairn had five, maybe a 5/4, it could be comparable, but yeah, the 4 attack makes the Sky Golem a better option, I think, most decks.
Okay, well, yeah, hopefully you guys watching the show can try this deck out. This, again, it's a Reno deck, which is fun, and it's great seeing Reno decks actually in a tournament, like the Celestial one, because a lot of people were, you know, questioning whether it was going to be gimmicky and just a short-lived thing, but this seems to be a viable one against, you know, some of it's the decks that people generally play, like just normally, right, as the powerful decks. So really good to see. All right, why don't we move on to our
Tink My Deck
segment here, which is where you guys, the viewers and the fans, send in a deck and we just take a look at it. This week we've got a deck from looks like from Seyfric, I think his name is Seyfric. It's a Dragon Handlock and a little bit of everything. So there are two cards missing on this deck list, two Molten Giants. Couldn't quite fit it in, I guess, when he was doing the screenshot here he gave me. But figured we'd just do a quick, you know, just a quick run through. It is a Dragon Warlock, so maybe some things, or at least some comments that we can give him. He does have Giants mixed with Dragons. So what do you guys think of that generally?
It's tough to answer questions like that without playing it. I don't know. I don't like Mountain Giant, but I could definitely see Molten Giant being good. Yeah. I'd like to see Ancient Watcher in this deck. Sun Furies are a little underwhelming without them. You can just play like one Watcher in this kind of list. I like that he's playing Shadow Bolt. That card's sweet.
Really?
Shadow Bolt blows people out when they try to play around Hellfire. It kills like Flame Waker, Spider Tank, Azure Drake.
Okay.
Card is like really good right now. But kills Totem Golem too. It's interesting because nobody accounts for like the extra damage, so it's always good because they always play around Hellfire.
Yeah.
Good against Braun too. It's a good deck though. I like the look of it. I think like the second Sun Fury is maybe the only card that doesn't make sense in this list. And the Braun probably makes sense. Yeah.
VLPS, what are you, comments?
Yeah, I like it. I think Zalay actually was the guy that was playing a lot of dragon themed, I guess, Handlock. You want to call it Dragon Handlock. It was that type of deck. And this does seem pretty similar. I like the idea of running the one mountain versus running two, just because the curve. Obviously, you're playing a lot more minions rather than just tapping and passing with standard Handlock. You have the Twilight Guardians, you have the Azure Drake, Blackwing Corruptors. I don't know about not having any Ancient Watchers. I don't know about only having one Dark Bomb too. I don't know. I would almost rather have two Dark Bombs than the one Dark Bomb, one Shadow Bolt. But overall, I think, yeah, it's one of those decks you want to obviously try out before giving a definitive answer, but it looks pretty good, and it does seem to have enough dragons for activation on the Black Wings as well as activation on the Twilight Guardians. I think it has 5 dragons. That's the sweet spot generally. No, 6 dragons. So, yeah, should be good to go to have activation most of the time on those two Battlecry effects.
The other one. Oh, go ahead, Ray.
I was just gonna say, I really want to see a Chillmaw in the deck, like over Mountain Giant.
Yeah.
I think Chillmaw's really underplayed in dragon deck, so I really, really wanted to fit it into like Purple's dragon warlock deck, but it's just like too hard in that list. But yeah, that's all I want to say.
One thing that sticks out too is just the amount of healing. I mean, there's definitely two heal bots, which is cool, which is you know, very normal. But the Farseer, there's an extra Farseer there, which is interesting. And then of course Alexstrasza. What do you think of the Farseer though? Necessary?
It's a card that's like never been bad, but I feel like it's mostly there to balance the numbers for Brand Bronzebeard. Like give it one more synergistic card. Yeah, it's good. Farseer is never bad. It also heals your 4 drops, which is strong.
Okay.
Yeah, synergizes with Bran. It's always good maybe to have one of, you know, gets controllers if they ever face tank their Twilight Drake with their Deathbite. Like Raynette said, you can heal it up, and then all of a sudden they have to either decide whether to use the execute or they don't have to execute. You know, the Drake's going to stay alive. But yeah, I always like it as a one of. It's always never a bad card to run. In Rogues or as a one of in Handlock.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Sifrik, I think, well, you know, overall, the deck looks pretty good. I think from two guys here. Any card that he should just replace? I know Raynad mentions anything, but VLPS. And any card you think he should just replace?
I really would like to see that Shadow Bolt become a second Dark Bomb. Just because there's a lot of druids on ladder, and this one, the one problematic matchup for Handlock is typically druid. Not having an answer to the Darnassus early on usually means game's over.
Yeah.
Maybe having that second Dark Bomb, would, you know, not necessarily having to take out the Shadow Bolt, but at least having that second Dark Bomb in there somewhere from in the deck. And maybe, I think cutting out the Azure Drake's probably fine, and just having the two Twilight Guardians, two Twilight Drakes, and the Alexstrasza would still be enough dragons for the battle cry on the Black Wings.
Yeah. Okay, that sounds good. Sevrik, hopefully that'll help you out, and you can just make that improvement, and it's already good, so he must be doing pretty well with the deck anyways. Okay, let's take some questions now, and I was going to do some Collins. Is Discord working for you, Ray, or no? Let's see if you can get in. Let me send it to you again. We're going to plan on doing Collins, but he's been having trouble getting into Discord. I think the West Coast has been having some issues. All right, I'll send you the link again.
Oh, it works now.
Okay, cool. Let me get you in here. All right, guys, so we're going to be doing Collins. And hold on, let me get Ray situated here. There he is. All right, cool. Okay, so we got... go ahead and mute Zoom, guys, so that... And then unmute in Discord. Okay, so for those of you interested in Collins, go ahead and join this chat here. We'll see how it goes today. Oh, hold on a second. Join this channel here. Hold on. I'm going to link it real quick and just join it. We're only going to take up 3 of them, right, guys? So join this Discord channel, and then we'll pull you in. All right, so Collins should be interesting. Actually, we have a question on the website first. I'll go ahead and ask that before we while people start cycling in here. Okay, we got one here. Question for VLPS, actually. Your team Splice has some great players like Kayuki Dark, Protohype, etc. Do you know if you and your team are going to be competing in any team leagues in the future, like Archon Team League or another team-based format? Whoa, what happened? Oh. Whoops. Hold on. Okay. All right, there we go. We lost you for a second, VLPS. All right. Oh, did you hear that? Oh, did you guys not hear that? Whoops. All right, I think I was muted there. Hold on. Okay, this question's from Sean Hall. You guys can hear me, right? Ray and VLPS? Oh gosh, I guess they can't hear me. Hold on a second. Sorry guys, I'm having some sound issues. Discord. All right, can you guys hear me?
Okay.
Yeah, Discord just kind of freaked out there. All right, we actually have a question from Sean Hawley while people are getting into the chat or getting into the call-in chats. From Henrietta, New York, the question is for VLPS. Your team Splice has some great players like Kayuki, Dart, Protohype, etc. Do you know if you and your team are going to be competing in any team leagues in the future, like Archon Team League or another team-based format?
I mean, we would love to. It's, you know, those leagues are typically invite-based. As of right now, I can say that we don't have any type of invites to those types of leagues, but yeah, I agree, man. I think that we have some very good players on my team, and I would definitely like to take part in one of those leagues and see how we fare against other teams. But as of now, to answer the question, there's nothing in the imminent future.
Well, isn't Archon Team League going to have some kind of qualifying thing this time around? Or something
really?
Like that? Maybe not.
I wasn't aware of it, but that'd be pretty cool to have some type of maybe like an open qualifier where maybe they have like an invite of like a certain amount of teams, but they also have maybe like two slots left over for invited or for open qualifier teams.
Yeah, maybe I was remembering wrong, but I thought there would be at least one slot that would be open. Okay, thanks for your question, Sean. All right, we got a bunch of people in here now. Let's pull in... Actually, Duena's in here. Let's pull in Duena. Oh, I don't know if Duena can hear me, though. Oh, man. All right. Duena, you there? Oh, he can't hear me quite yet. All right, let's pull somebody in that actually has their audio. All right, Muzzy. Oh, no. She's... There we go. All right, Muzzy. Hey, you there? Hey Muzzy, yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, I'm not Muzzy, that's just a username I chose.
Oh, okay. Hey, do you have a question for us? Oh, turn off the sound, man. Turn off the stream sound. Oh god, this isn't... You got a question for us?
Just skip this one.
Yeah, skip this one. Yeah, this is. I don't got my.
It doesn't work right off the bat. Just.
Yeah. I don't got my screener here today, so I'm just kind of like doing it on the fly here. All right, we'll try a couple more, guys. If it doesn't work, then man, we're gonna have to stop this. Hey, Van Darkholm, you there? Hello, Van Darkholm, you there? Oh god, this. All right, last try, guys. This is not working out very well. Jeez. V-Man, you there?
Hello.
Hey, what's up, V-Man?
Not much, just eating some takeaway.
Oh, awesome. You got a question for us on Valleytown?
I just wanted to really know what Reynard's daily life is like outside of streaming.
It's not very interesting, man. I answer Skype messages and emails all day and watch Netflix, and that's about it.
Do you Netflix and chill from time to time?
Pretty much. It's just me and my right hand, though. It's not, we're not like. But yeah.
That's what it is. You always got to have the quality Netflix. Mm-hmm. You always have to watch those quality 5-star shows.
That's right.
Always have your right hand at the ready.
None of that average Netflix.
All right. Thanks for your question, man.
All right. Fine.
Oh, man. All right. Duena's back. Hopefully, Duena has a. Duena. You there?
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Hey, what's up, buddy?
Yeah, what's up, Duena?
So I had a question. Like, we were talking about for, like, classes, like, Shaman, how the Sir Finley Murgleton could be a good card. But I also think it could be a good card for Freeze Mage, especially in matches like Control Warrior, where their hero power is basically useless, or, like, even a lot of mid-range, they don't really need their hero power, so I think Mech Mage could get a lot of... Freeze Mage could get a lot of value out of Sir Finkleton as well. Hmm. What do you guys think?
I think, like, the Mage hero power is pretty important for Freeze Mage, but now the more I think about it, like, the other classes have a lot of stuff they bring to the table, too. Like, Warlock's good, Warrior and Priest can be decent. probably like almost as good as, probably like as good as the mage hero power. I guess it'd have to be like a net benefit to play Finley, right? Because you're cutting something important, something like a cone of cold or whatever.
Yeah.
Could keep you alive.
Yeah, it's an interesting point. I think it's strong against, I think the mage hero power alone is strong against like aggro decks, but yeah, like you said, against control wear, it's probably not the best hero power. But I'm trying to think here, like, what would you want to have against control wear that would even make that matchup even better or winnable still? Probably not. Probably nothing, actually.
Yeah.
But that's an interesting point. I like that. I like the idea of
maybe I'm just thinking of ways like maybe a new hero power could help, because that matchup currently is just almost unwinnable unless you just draw a godlike card. So maybe a new hero power would be able to make it more winnable.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah, I agree. It's a good way of looking at it. I like the idea of trying this card in maybe a control deck, because it's only right now played in those aggro type decks, or people are only theorizing it in those aggro decks.
Or like even aggro druid. Imagine if they had Hunter hero power. It would be way faster than Phase Hunter, and would probably never lose that matchup as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be pretty good. All right, Dwayne, thanks for your question, man. All right, so try this. His name is VLPS. How do you hit top 100? All right. Hey, you there?
Yes, I am. Hey, VLPS. It's Hotshot Kelly, and I actually got top 100 last season, so fuck you, man.
Okay.
Fuck.
All right, Jesus. All right, that's a...
I think that guy's sub to me.
Is he?
So much in common with my viewers.
Yeah, he sniped me one day and then came in chat and was like trash talking. So I permabanned him, so he's been a little salty ever since.
Oh, he's not a sub to me. I just play against him on ladder. That's what it is. I knew that kid snipes. What a little fuck.
All right, well, that's going to be it for Collins today, guys. I don't have my screener today, so I figured I would just, like, try, but of course it failed, like having just anybody in here with us. But at least we got one decent question from Duena there. But why don't we wrap up and let everybody get to playing the new wing here. VLPS, man, appreciate you coming on the show. It was a lot of fun, and definitely have to do it again sometime. You want to do any shout-outs or... Thank yous.
Shout outs to some of my subs. I've been seeing a lot of my subs posting in the chat. Appreciate you guys for coming in and supporting me. Appreciate you for having me on, Chris. Means a lot.
Yeah, of course, man. Ray?
I got nothing, man. Shout out to this wonderful website called TempestStrong.com that I'm entirely unaffiliated with. And that's it.
Me, just a shout out to, of course, you, the two of you guys for doing the show today. Thanks for rescheduling, just because yesterday I had some technical issues with Comcast, freaking craziness. Really glad we at least got the show in this week. I do want to plug the Patreon. So there's a Patreon for Valuetown, patreon.com/Valuetown. Let me actually show it, because I think a lot of people haven't actually even been to it yet. Take a look at this, guys. We got, we've got milestones, rewards. Definitely let me know feedback on some of these things, because I don't think this is really like motivating people to join the Patreon, and I'm down for whatever, you know what I mean? So just let me know what guys would like to see with milestones, and I'd be happy to, at least take consideration to whatever suggestions you have. But definitely support the show. That's, obviously the best way to keep the show going and supporting it. So I really appreciate all the patrons that we currently have, which let me just show real quick too. Big thanks to these guys right here for supporting the show. Appreciate it, guys. And lastly, big shout out to obviously Templestorm. They sponsored the show, of course. And VODs for the show will be found on youtube.com/ChamMV. You can find those in the next like 10-15 minutes there. Oh, another big shout out to the voiceover, the guy who does voiceovers for me, Magnetic Emu. Been a little remiss to mention live on air the last week or two, so I want to make sure I do it this week and in future weeks too. He does all the cool, golden gimmick, those voices that you hear during the broadcast. So huge shout out to him. And finally, audios will be on iTunes. Definitely check out if you're a podcast listener or you want to listen to the show on the way to work. Just get on iTunes, search for Hearthstone, and then, you know, subscribe to the Valuetown one. It's the best way to hear it. That's going to be it for Valuetown, guys. Until next week, for VLPS, Raynad, and Chanman V, we'll see you next time. Later.